You are now tuned into Big Market Bites.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, everyone, and welcome to Big Market Bias. Coming at you live from the West Coast, I'm Cameron Green. And coming at us live from the East Coast, we've got Peter Daubert. What's happening, Peter?
Oh, so much is happening today, Cam. So much has been happening for the past week or so now. The playoffs have started. The best basketball in the world. You know,
playoff basketball.
That we get. And we're so happy to be here. So happy to just bask in the glow of basketball. And I don't know about you, but I've been getting into the Fallout show lately. Been bringing back my Fallout love, and you know, I'm remind you know a thing in the Fallout universe is, of course, the Wanderer. As you are in Fallout, you're just wandering around and going from place to place with seemingly no true goal. Just kind of, you know, you're out, you're open, and you're living. And that reminds me, of course, of now. Another victim of a sweep, Kevin Durant, the Wanderer, as he wanders from team to team, building these legions of hoopers. We're now sitting here. The Suns have been swept by Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves in some pretty embarrassing fashion. And it calls back to the video games of old, to my childhood, you know?
Just out of curiosity, which Fallout is your favorite one?
Fallout 4. I'm a big fan of Fallout 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that came out like 5 years ago? 7 years ago?
And that was like 10, 15 years ago.
10 years ago? Is that the last time KD won a championship? I kid. No, it was a little bit... It wasn't quite that long. But I love the Wanderer analogy because there's a chance he could be wandering away to another team again next year.
Absolutely.
Through some intermediaries and comments through the media about never feeling comfortable in Vogel's offense and shit like that.
Too much pick and roll.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I mean, maybe that's just what happens when you don't have a point guard, you know?
Yeah. But nobody told them that they needed a point guard. Nobody thought about that. Everyone in our basketball world, we were like, this will work. They don't need a point guard. I can't remember anyone ever at any point saying that. Can you?
Hello. Yes. We both did on our podcast.
Yes. I think a lot of people did. Just about everyone.
Yes. No, just about everyone. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Sorry, I have trouble with sarcasm sometimes. I really love how Anthony Edwards just stepped up. He has blossomed into a true star in today's NBA. I think basically everybody picked against the Timberwolves when the series came up because everyone was saying the Suns have gotten hot and healthy at the right time, and they are the perfect kryptonite for the Minnesota Timberwolves drop defense. But all Timberwolves, give them credit, they heard all those analysts saying the same thing, and they took it personally. And they came out and showed why the Suns are the has-beens of the NBA, and the Timberwolves are the now.
Mm-hmm. A very real passing of the torch moment. I don't know if you saw that little clip there of Anthony Edwards, you know, walking backwards, talking a bunch of smack to Kevin Durant. And it's going to sound mean, but I felt like in that clip, Kevin Durant's like kind of balding spot on his hair was almost exaggerated. Really just drove home the point of this is youth versus age, and this is the youth who finally come. The Reaper of Time has come to drag Kevin Durant down, and his name is Anthony Edwards. You know, I got to say, this is a really impressive series. It almost comes a little too early for Ant. Like, I think a lot of people, I think even the most optimistic people, were kind of expecting Ant to maybe make this kind of leap next year and that we'd see a good series, but ultimately not like a complete takeover in the same way that we did.
Dominant.
And I think it bodes really well for the Timberwolves, you know, their hopes going forward. Now, I did Actually, I flirted a little bit with picking the Suns. I ended up actually going Timberwolves in six.
Oh, personally. Look at you.
So I thought it was going to be a closer series. I thought the Suns would have at least two games in them. I was wrong on that. But the real surprise for me, I say surprise, but it's almost not a surprise, was Naz Reid. How valuable he has been this whole series, doing all the little things. We were on this podcast just last episode. I was arguing for Naz Reid. Obviously, you came over to me, to my side. We both picked Naz Reid to win Sixth Man of the Year, which he then did, by the way.
Yes.
Deservedly
so. Yeah,
absolutely. A very close race. I don't know if you saw the polling results, and it was like, it was so close. Malik Monk and Naz Reid, very razor thin. So, honestly, give the award to both of them. I'm fine with it, you know. But
yeah,
it's amazing to see him just come out and be really, really valuable. It seemed like the Suns, I mean, they just didn't have another option other than like the pick and roll. Like, I think Kevin Durant is right on a certain level that this team maybe wasn't the best to exploit the pick and roll, or at the very least against this defense that has Jaden McDaniels, Naz Reid, and Anthony Edwards, who can guard pretty well. And and so all these switch attempts and come a lot of the time dead, because it's like, well, I'm switching into Jaden right now. I'm switching.
There's no weak link.
Into Naz Reid, and you know, or Rudy Gobert, who, you know, you can't drive on him. So,
and they're expecting the mid-range shot, and the Timberwolves did an excellent job of helping Rudy when he was pulled into those situations.
Yeah, they really, I think, you know, I think they just worked the Suns defensively, and I think that comes, you know. It's pretty funny, especially considering Kevin Durant's, you know, he tweeted out, like, I think this year, sometime earlier this year, that, like, defense didn't really matter, and offense was the, you know, that's really what matters in basketball, not defense. And to see him, once again, mind you, because the 2022 Celtics did a very similar thing to him in Brooklyn, where this is now the second time in just the last 3 years where Kevin Durant has been beat down and swept by a team that just defensively could stop him. And, you know, hopefully maybe this is a learning lesson for Kevin. Like, hey, maybe defense does matter. Maybe in one of your big three attempts, maybe you get a big in one of them instead of just three guys who dribble. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not the expert. But it seems like a smart idea. I don't know. What do you think?
Yes, I totally agree. He needs a big man. He's used, even in the regular season, he was actually pretty decently effective being a weak side defender at the four, helping the Phoenix Suns prop up their defense. Vogel is obviously a defensive-minded coach, so that obviously helped as well. But yeah, putting your hopes on Nurkic, this is one reason we were like, I know none of us like Ayton, but Ayton at least could handle his own defensively a little bit better than Nurkic could. So yeah, I would be kind of surprised if Durant is still in the Suns uniform. Not that I know any other options they have. So it could go either way. If it sounds like Vogel could get fired, which would be, I don't think that's the right move. It's kind of like not his fault that this roster didn't have a true point guard, didn't have the right type of big man, etc., etc. I can't believe the series is over already.
That fast. And that hit piece for Vogel was ready the second the buzzer sounded. Right?
It was too quick.
They had that ready to go.
It makes me super suspicious.
It's the second time in just the past few years that Vogel has been the scapegoat for a team that was disappointing. It's not his fault.
Absolutely.
You know?
It's not.
Do you think, you know, okay, so, I mean, you think that Kevin Durant is gone? I think one of the three are definitely gone. I don't think we'll see these three.
With these new issues with the CBA, how they lock down on teams that overspend and the limitations that they have. So with the new restrictions on the luxury tax on teams that overspend, they're way over into the second apron. So they can't combine salaries. Like, they can't combine a $20 million player and a $10 million player to get a $30 million player. All these weird things that are happening, I just don't see how they're going to get out of it. They're going to be playing around with both hands tied behind their back, you know? So, if they want to get anything, they're going to have to get rid of one of the big three. And every single one of their values, other than Devin Booker, is tanked. Nobody wants Beal. He had so many injury issues, maybe even a little bit of an attitude problem. You know, you have Booker, obviously, is still very valuable, but kind of had some really bad games in this series. You know, one little pet peeve, Anthony Edwards is listed at 6'4". I saw him hugging Kevin Durant. He wasn't, like, looking up at him. They were almost eye to eye. Mm-hmm. Why is he listed at 6'4"? He definitely is not. Besides that, I just don't know what the Suns can do going forward unless they decide to just blow it up. They have no draft picks. Like, they traded away every single draft pick that they have, essentially. The cupboard is bare. And they got swept in the first round. It was not worth the sacrifice. But that's what happens when you get a new owner wanting to swing his balls around, just trying to show off and be like, oh, I know how to run a company. That means I could run an NBA team, too. No, it doesn't. Just ask Steve Ballmer.
Exactly. It's tough, you know. The future is not bright in Phoenix, and I don't know where you go from here.
The sun is setting.
There we go. The perpetual night has began, and here we are. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what they do. I think it's clear they have to move on from somebody.
Yes.
And if that requires a full teardown, then maybe you just sell all three of them off for parts. Maybe you can package Durant and Beal together for, I don't know, Clay Thompson, Draymond Green, maybe.
And a bunch of draft picks.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, because that's the thing, because I don't know who wants Kevin Durant, or at least at the price that he is at. Nobody wants Beal. There's no way they get rid of him, right? Unless they're packaging, like, Booker or Durant with him kind of thing. So I don't really know what they do. And we'll see how it goes from here.
Mm-hmm. And now the Timberwolves are just waiting around to see who wins Lakers Nuggets.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, I'm sure they'll be watching tonight's Lakers Nuggets intently. And, you know, mostly the Nuggets, I'm sure. I mean, how are you feeling? Obviously, when the people hear this,
they'll know if the Lakers are still in it or if the Nuggets have moved on.
So, assuming the Lakers lose, I mean, can we get, like, a state of the address on going down in five games?
Well, first off, I did guarantee it wouldn't be a sweep, so my honor is intact. That's true. That I care about. Game two was probably the most devastating loss of my life.
Oh.
Up by 20, I was packing from Mexico. You know, I even made a joke. I was like, oh, I'm trying to get to Cancun before the Lakers. You know, people laughed pretty hard and stuff like that. Yeah. One guy said, this game is over. I'm going to play video games. And everyone freaked out. Everyone was like, it's way too early to say that. What are you doing? I was even like, are you trying to reverse jinx us? And the guy's like, no, I swear I'm not. Well, it worked. It freaking worked. Jamal Murray was terrible the whole game and buries the game-winning jumper at the buzzer, stabs a dagger in my heart with two timeouts left that we just held on to for no reason. And LeBron even played really well in that fourth quarter. He had 12 points. He had these two three-pointers when things were slipping. One of them was super deep. And in this series, the Nuggets have only led for 55 minutes of total game time. It's been tied for 15 minutes of game time. And the rest, which is almost 200 minutes, the Lakers have led. It so easily could be 3-1 Lakers right now, or 2-2. So easily. And that's just devastating. Now, am I holding out hope that the Lakers make him a comeback? I damn sure am, because I'm absolutely insane.
Only logical explanation.
Only logical explanation. I mean, hey, LeBron's come back down from 3-1 when no one else has. Maybe he can come back down from 3-0 when no one else has. Knock on wood. It's not like LeBron and AD have played badly either. They've both been incredible. It's been the role players that haven't stepped up. D'Lo, 0 points in Game 3. Rui Hachimura, 5 points in Game 3. Season on the line, it felt like, in the third quarter. Torian Prince, who's been halfway decent. Spencer Dinwiddie, terrible. They just when he's in the game, they just let him run right to the basket or let him shoot or play him for the passing lanes. The only way he's useful, his defense is not bad. But he's been essentially useless. And for whatever reason, Darvin Ham is like, I want to roll out with him right now. I would have much rather seen Gabe Vincent. I would even rather see Max Christie on the court than Spencer Dinwiddie. There were a chance of fire Ham in the third quarter. Yeah, it's just blown lead after blown lead, blown opportunity after blown opportunity. And what's so frustrating is it just seems like the Lakers play the Nuggets closer than anyone else in the league. And if the Nuggets get past the series, I don't see anybody beating them, honestly. The Timberwolves, obviously they look great. I wonder how they're going to handle the rest between now and when their series will start. Some, especially in younger teams, can struggle with that respect. Jokic has been incredible. Murray still hasn't had a good game, which terrifies me. KCP's been killing us. But the longer the series goes on, the more the Nuggets' depth issues can grow and glare and show their rear its ugly head. They really miss Bruce Brown. Michael Porter Jr. has been great too. Aaron Gordon's been terrific. Their starting lineup is amazing. But when you get past the starting lineup, every time I see Reggie Jackson come in, I'm like, yes, great, love it. Super happy he's in there right now. So sometimes Mike Malone, he's been a little iffy in his coaching too. Some of his rotations, some of his timeouts have been weird where I've been like, oh, thanks for the timeout. My team needed a rest right there too. Whatever. So the Nuggets could definitely play better. When Jokic isn't guarded by AD, AD's been shutting him down shooting-wise for the most part. There have been some times where Jokic has shot it, gotten his own rebound, put it back up, gotten his own rebound, putting it back up. And it's like, we need to stop those second chances. Those offensive boards have been really killing us. And also just KCP, man. I did not want to get rid of him ever. And we got rid of him for Westbrook. It's just terrible. Oh, man.
Yeah, looking back, that trade was such a loss for the Lakers, just on the prospect of losing KCP for Russell Westbrook. But then also to have that trade haunts you by KCP just shutting you down and looking really, really good against the Lakers. That's tough. That's really tough.
LeBron has looked incredible still. He's gotten tired at the end of the game sometimes, but he's 39 years old. That's to be expected. I'm really excited about tonight's game. But, you know, we'll have to see. We'll have to see what happens next.
Yeah, I'm fully expecting the Nuggets to roll.
Of course you are.
Yeah. I mean, of course. I took your speech to heart, and I said, you know, I think Cam might be right. This might be a Nuggets in five. And you were right. And I congratulate you on that. That game.
I'm not right yet, you jerk.
We'll see. I mean, yeah. Jamal Murray is apparently playing tonight. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, he got hurt a little bit.
Yeah, so I don't know exactly what we're going to get from him. You're right. He hasn't had a great series. So, you know, but I guess having him out there hobbled, you know, we'll see how injured he is.
Do you know if it's the same leg that was giving him issues later in the season?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure. I don't really remember when he got hurt.
It was like the last month of the season. He played kind of intermittently, and then they took him out for a couple of weeks and then brought him back at the very end of the season. I imagine it's the same leg. If it's not, then it's probably because he was favoring it, you know?
Yeah. That's just always how it goes. So, I mean, we'll see how it all goes, and obviously the listeners will know. But, I mean, the Nuggets, this Nuggets team really does feel unbeatable to in a very real way. So we'll see how it all goes. I do have some faith that the Thunder and the Timberwolves can really push them. That's really, you know, I guess we'll see. Mavs, Clippers, I don't know, you know, who's going to win that one. But I don't see either of those teams really pushing the top three teams in the West. So I kind of expect, I mean, we'll see. If this is Nuggets-Wolves in the second round, that's going to be a bloodbath. That's going to be fun. If the Lakers can somehow come back all the way and beat the Nuggets, then I'm picking the Lakers the rest of the way, because it's like, oh no, they beat Jokic. Like, no, yeah. It's over. This whole season's over. But the thing that really just impresses me, I mean, you know, we say it all the time with the Nuggets, it's so easy to praise them. And they just, the little things, the team ball, the Aaron Gordon constantly cutting, making these smart cuts, and just always playing intensely. And it's such fun basketball. It truly is. It really is one of my favorite series. Obviously, I like it because the Lakers are losing a lot, and I like that. But also, it's just really fun basketball. It's fun to watch old man LeBron try and, like, superhero his way through.
Each game has been pretty close, except for the last one. Lakers led wire to wire the whole game. It did feel like the Lakers figured something out, but maybe that's just false hope.
Yeah. You don't know. Or it might just be too little too late. Okay, you know, you figured something out. Yeah. Maybe give you a better shot, but... you know, we'll see. I mean, the Nuggets are at home tonight. I'm expecting them to put it away. If they don't, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't have a ton of faith. Let's talk about
your team next.
Oh, okay.
How are you feeling about the Heat Celtics series?
Well, obviously, we had the that really embarrassing game two. That you know, I mean, everyone was clowning on us, and we just kind of had to sit back and take our licks there. You know. Losing to the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler in the Garden is tough. That's tough. I was hoping for a sweep, but I think in my heart I knew we'd probably give up a game or two. So I can't say I'm shocked. I still expect to win. Kristaps Porzingis actually just got hurt tonight. The Celtics went up 3-0.
Non-contact injury.
It looked, his reaction was not good. So that's really concerning for me. If I were the Celtics, just right off the bat, based off what I know, I would just say, just rest them the rest of the series. Just don't even bother. Because, I mean, the Celtics are up 3-1 now. We just came through the result. Celtics won pretty handily. So I'm not – I don't think they're going to miss Kristaps too much in this series. You know, bring him back for round two, see how it goes. I mean, obviously he's getting imaging. He should be getting imaging tomorrow. Someone know more, but I'm hoping he can come back. I hope it's not like a season's over injury. That would really suck. But I mean,
we're all worried about it.
Yeah,
all year long. Yeah, yeah. I mean, his health was amazing this year.
Yeah, I mean, he was out of lineup sometimes, but like nothing crazy. He was relatively healthy most of the time, but you know, we all kind of knew he was a fragile guy. So when this signing happened, this is exactly what I was afraid of, him getting hurt in the playoffs. So it's here. We'll see what happens. But I'm not too worried. Tatum hasn't been, you know, I keep hoping that he'll go at another level, that he'll have these crazy games where he just pops off, like Jalen Brunson. We'll talk about that series in a little bit, but like he has this crazy pop off game and you're just like, wow, like this guy's amazing. And I kind of just keep hoping that Tatum will have that, especially with no Jimmy. It just feels like Jason Tatum should be demolishing these guys. And often it feels like, you know, he just kind of slides into the background a lot of the time. And that's frustrating.
Bam is an incredible defender, you know. Driving the basket makes that really difficult. Spoelstra schemes so very well. He knows how to get into players' heads, no matter who the personnel on his team is. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. This team is a little bit like Jason Tatum Kryptonite, but they just don't have the big guns right now. So I don't really hold any hope for the Heat in this series. In fact, I mean, it would be absolutely insane if the Celtics blew this series lead. Am I jinxing hard enough?
No, you could go a little harder.
Okay. It would be just completely and utterly ridiculous and out of the realm of possibility for the Celtics to lose this series.
Okay. Well, now that Game 7 loss, I'm blaming on you.
Okay.
I'll be coming over. Like, hey, remember when you said that? How dare you?
You remember how Jamal Murray hurt you? Here's a knife in your chest.
I'll just bring him back. I'll get him to one of those... what are they called? Like the messages that you can send, have celebrities send people. I'll get them to send you a message. Just
oh my
break
God.
Your heart. I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, that's enough about that series.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not a ton. I mean, if we want to stick with some Eastern Conference mediocrity, do you have anything to say about Cavs Magic's 2-2? The home team has won every single game in Cavs Magic, and do you have anything to say on that one?
I mean, I have been impressed with Paolo the last two games, obviously. He's stepped up. Who knows if it's a real thing or just a mirage. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell has been known to do this. He's great in the games they win, terrible in the games they lose. I don't have too much to say about it. It's kind of like, okay, who's gonna win this series? Like, who's gonna step up and take it? Somebody step up and take this game. I know it's been relegated to NBA TV. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody cares. But when Game 7 happens, it'll probably just be home team all the way, and it's just gonna be a little bit annoying.
Yeah, that's the thing. The home team has won every way. So as much as I want to say, hey, the Magic, they've looked really good these last two games. They might have figured something out. They might have gone up another level. Maybe they can knock the Cavs out. And then I'm like, you know what? There's a good chance that the Cavs just blow them out by 20 because the next game is in Cleveland. And that just might just be what happens. And I really can't say I'm too surprised. I don't think anyone's really going to pay much attention to this series unless it goes 7. In which case, I'm sure everyone will be like, all right, well, a game 7's a game 7. Might as well watch this one.
Right. And then maybe it'll finally be a close game.
Yeah, it'll be like that game 7 will happen, and the game after that will be like game 1 of the second round in the West or something. And like, I could see that happening. I also don't have a ton on the series. I really don't. I was more impressed by the Magic than I thought I'd be. But again, that might all change, and this might just be home team all the way. That might just have to be what we do.
Let's move on to a more exciting series. The 76ers versus the Knicks. When Joel Embiid did that foul on Mitchell Robinson when he was on the ground and he grabbed it at his legs, mm-hmm. I thought Embiid should have been thrown out of the game.
Yeah, 100%. I stand with that 100%. He should have been thrown out. I know it's a playoff game.
The one guy that can defend him, he ended up scoring 50, mm-hmm. And they won the game. And I was just so pissed. I was just, this is such a Joel Embiid way to win a game in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's dangerous. It's just bottom line, it's a dangerous play. And it's the playoffs. It's the first round of the playoffs. And that's not a basketball move. He should have been kicked out. He's a star. It's a playoff game, I get it, but you can't have guys grabbing dudes as they're jumping, especially when they're on the ground. I mean, that's just so dangerous, so many levels. Especially a guy like Mitchell Robinson, who has had health struggles all year long. He's missed a significant portion of the season because of injury. So I don't think that's cool in any way. He should have been kicked out.
I want to give Mitchell Robinson some praise. I feel like he never gets talked about on any podcast. I just think he before he got hurt, he was doing an excellent job on Embiid. He was doing all the little things, doing all the dirty work, getting rebounds, blocking shots. I totally get why Tom Thibodeau loves this guy. I just think he deserves all the flowers, and I really hope he heals up. I know he played right in game 4.
I believe so.
Let's hope he keeps playing moving forward. Mm-hmm. I love the guard play. Tyrese Maxey and Jalen Brunson just going at it. Jalen Brunson's been absolutely incredible. Mm-hmm. Tyrese Maxey was two of the craziest and-one layups I've seen in a long time from a small guard. I just love to see it. Love to see these new faces, new names, new blood doing dominant things in the playoffs and making a name for themselves. Game 2 ended with a crazy freaking sequence back and forth. The 76ers, I think, were up 8 with 54 seconds to go or something like that. And mm-hmm. the Knicks just stormed back with some lucky bounces, maybe a couple lucky calls. But you know what? It was future karma for when Embiid did the dirty foul play. So we'll just say that's what it was.
Is there any other point guard currently in the playoffs that you'd take over Jalen Brunson?
Maybe Halliburton. Maybe.
Yeah. Like, I think that's a conversation, but I wouldn't take Dame over him.
No.
I mean, I wouldn't take Conley. I wouldn't take Jamal Murray.
Not D'Lo?
Not. That's a tough one, but I think I'm going to have to pass on D'Lo. Drew Holiday, I wouldn't. I mean, I you know, he's the guy who is just dominant from the point guard position in such a way that we haven't seen yet. Halliburton hasn't had a game like Brunson has had so far. And, you know, for this guy, obviously, you know, the Mavs fans, every time we talk about Brunson, I think they get like a little bit of pain in their chest. just thinking about yes. it. But that's such a tough loss, and he's such a perfect New York Knick. This is something yes. I've been thinking about, especially watching this series. And the more I watch just all of the playoffs, the more I think about it, the more I honestly am scared of this New York Knicks, genuinely. I think that, you know, I'm not worried about Cavs Magic. Whoever comes out of there, I'm confident the Celtics will beat. I'm really looking at this Knicks team, and I'm like, these guys, they know how to play end of games. They're tough. They're not afraid. They'll go right at you. And they a lot of these games are barely reaching 100, even if they hit 100. And I'm afraid that this Celtics team, you know, Thibodeau, I trust Thibodeau as a coach more than I trust Joe Mazzulla. And I am a little worried. Now, I'm still picking the Celtics. I'm still going to pick them. Still going to pick us. Still going to ride with us the whole playoffs. But there's honestly no team in the East that I would rather, like, I'm more scared of. There's no team in the East I'm more scared of than the New York Knicks. I think that they could, I think they genuinely could beat the Boston Celtics. And it's...
I tried to warn you.
Yeah. It's honestly scary. It's really scary for me to watch this team because the Celtics' whole thing, and that's what everyone talks about, is how they blow leads and, you know, no...
Close games,
end of games. They don't ever have a plan, it seems, and they're just not built for it, almost. And this Knicks team just so is. And I know that they can bog it down. I know that they can make it, like, 5 points left with, like, 45 seconds. And you're like, oh, yeah, like, we can hold on to this. But then all of a sudden, Brunson gets a foul, then gets some crazy offensive rebound, kicks it out to, like, Josh Hart, who hits a three for the fifth time this whole season. And suddenly the Knicks are up one with 10 seconds left, and you're just looking around like, what happened?
Yeah.
And totally. So that's something I'm worried about. I think one thing I will say about this Sixers-Knicks series is that Embiid is clearly hurt. Clearly, I think he's at like 40%, 40-50%. I don't know if, like, honestly, just watching this, I don't know if a 100% healthy Embiid changes things a ton. I think it probably does. They probably are at least 2-2 right now and not 3-1. But, I mean, it's clear that, you know, game one especially, it was so
clear. It's like he was getting his wind back.
Yeah. And he was just so slow, so winded. But he was so dominant at the same time. Like, he is still the best player on the floor, even at 50%. And that's not a shot at Brunson at all. That's just Embiid is another level. But there's only so much he can do. He's clearly winded by like halfway through the second quarter. And he just doesn't have the stamina. He's very clearly hurt. He doesn't have the move. Obviously, he had that really, really scary moment. And I think it was game two where, you know, he does the Euro step and then his leg and then, you know, the screen on his eyes will like haunt me for the rest of my life because it was like that was a man that genuinely thought like his Achilles had ruptured or something underneath totally. Him. The fact that he got up, he finished the game, he came back, he's been dominant. I mean, that's just,
you really see the difference on defense because he is the 76ers defense.
Yeah.
And he early in the year, he was in the right position every single possession.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, coming back from injury, he just hasn't quite been the same defensively. Offensively, he's still been pretty dominant.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You can just tell. You can tell he's slower than he usually is. He had to miss, like, you know, the last month of the season, which, so he was already like a little out of shape, like wasn't totally in playoff shape, and he's still hurt. You know, so it's you can just it's kind of hard to watch them a little bit.
Yeah, it is.
But that's been such a fun series. I really can't wait for Game 5.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a bloodbath no matter what happens. That's been super fun. You want to talk Bucks Pacers?
Yeah, sure.
Anything on that? Obviously, Giannis.
Yeah, it sucks. The injury issues, obviously. They don't have Giannis. Dame in and out of the lineup with a bad leg injury. Middleton getting his ankle stepped on and having come out, coming back in, hitting some ridiculously crazy shots to keep them in it, only to eventually lose. This Indiana Pacers team seems like a team of destiny right now. Like, it just seems like they're getting a lot of breaks, both on the court and off the court. Turner has been amazing. Halliburton has been incredible. Obi Toppin has been really, really good, you know. And Siakam has been great. Like, it just seems like the Pacers have so many good players, and they just keep coming at them. And the Bucks are just doing everything to prove that Doc Rivers is a bad coach.
They're doing everything they can. I agree. Yeah, Dame had obviously that insane first half in game two, and it was like, oh, maybe they'll be fine. Maybe Dame will be able to carry them through, and that just
he almost did.
That wasn't the case. They won that one game, and it was really great. And Dame then got hurt and hasn't been in the lineup, and it's just tough to watch. This Bucks team does feel more talented even without Giannis, but I think part of it is the coaching difference a little bit. Part of it is the Pacers have youth and speed and on their side. Pace.
Yes.
You know, the Bucks team is a lot of old heads, a lot of old dudes. They can't quite keep up with the Pacers. It's showing. We obviously didn't come on here and share our picks, but I said Pacers in six because I wasn't sure on Giannis's health, and it might even look like Pacers in five, and that is, I mean, after this whole season for the Bucks to go down like this, is tough.
It's very tough. Very tough.
Yeah.
And to watch the guy you traded get to the second round, maybe, and probably third round, some would say likely the finals, you know, and you're like, man, we got rid of that guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't blame it all on that. Giannis, they didn't expect Giannis to be unhealthy at the time of the playoffs. You know, his injury just was terrible, terrible timing.
Yeah. And I don't think...
Unfortunately, there's not much more to say beyond that.
Yeah. You know, I don't think Jrue Holiday, even if they hadn't made that trade, I don't think Jrue Holiday being here would have really changed the time. I mean, maybe they would have had a better shot because, like, obviously the defense would have been better. But, I mean, I don't know if it really would have changed much. It just feels like inevitable. It feels like this Pacers team, you know, it's like the Thunder that year, right? It feels a little bit like that. Like, this young team is here. Or even, even the Grizzlies, when Ja Morant, when they kind of popped off, they beat the Timberwolves. It kind of felt like this young team with this young player, they're here, they've arrived. And they're going to knock off a team that we all thought was better. And I thought the Bucks were better. Even without Giannis, I mean, I picked the Pacers, but I still just feel like without Giannis, these Bucks should be talented enough. Dame Lillard should be good enough, but he's not.
Yeah, you got to wonder about how much of a load they had in their plate and during the regular season leading up to this point, and that leading to the injuries that they have now, and not having any depth or the bench to cover for them when they're off the court, and needing to play so many close games, so many end-of-game situations just to squeak in a couple more wins, you know. It's just tough. It's really tough.
Yeah, for sure. We can switch back to the West. Clippers-Mavericks.
Yes. Kyrie, oh my gosh. How incredible has he looked? Just making me miss the days of old with him and LeBron, playing together. Luka had that one game where he struggled, but he's a little bit got some injury issues and stuff like that. The Clippers are playing a lot better without Kawhi than I ever would have expected. Harden has played decently in certain games, obviously not all of them. Paul George has been decent too. It's a competitive series and really fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Obviously the big comeback was fun. And really thought the Mavs were going to do it, and then they just didn't. And it felt like an amazing win for the Clippers. This series, I mean, I thought when Kawhi went down, I thought that was going to be it. I thought there's no way the Clippers can hang without Kawhi.
Agreed.
And I still kind of think that. Like, I know the Clippers just beat the Mavericks without Kawhi, but there's just a strong part of me that feels like that was the one game anomaly. They're not going to be able to do it, like, two more times.
Yeah,
and so I'm really sitting here thinking, I think the Mavs take this. I unless Kawhi comes back, then we can really see something. But if Kawhi is injured and they're not coming back, the shot making from Kyrie is really jaw-dropping. Sometimes it feels like a pairing that shouldn't quite work, you know, exactly, because they both do a lot of the similar stuff. They're both just, you know, dribble guys. Ball dominant, you know, neither of them play great defense. But, you know, when it works, it works. When both of them are just kind of hitting their shots and it's impossible to defend, you can see the vision. You can see the vision. One thing I thought that they made a mistake on in that last game was keeping Kleber in for, like, Derek Lively. Like, James Harden was hitting that same floater, like, five times in a row. He had just, like, that same kind of, you know, run-up and kind of hit, you know, floated in. And every time in the shot, there's Kleber standing there, like, crouched. And, like, and he isn't, like, actually defending the floater. And you think after the fifth time of Harden doing that, Kleber would change his stance. Or they'd bring in Lively, who's a little longer and who could maybe disrupt that. But they just don't. And they stick with it. And I really think that that's what ended up killing them in the end.
I mean, Jason Kidd will lose you one or two games around by himself.
And that's the Ty Lue versus Jason Kidd thing.
Yes.
You know, that's the coach.
Such a huge advantage for the Clippers.
I think, you know, and I hated the signing when it happened. I hated it when they got Jason Kidd. Every single season, after every single year, I'm like, you have to fire Jason Kidd. Go find a new coach. Every year they don't do that. I'm going to bang that same drum. No matter what happens, you have to fire Jason Kidd. You have to get rid of him. He is bringing down Luka's career. Luka's story is being hampered by Jason Kidd, you know, dragging him down. And so, I mean, the next... I imagine this series goes seven. And these next three games are going to be awesome. They're going to be a lot of fun. I think this iteration... Because we've seen this series, what, three times now? I think this is the most fun version of it. Because Luka feels like he's never been better. And he has a real co-star in Kyrie who can make these games really fun sometimes.
Kyrie's been not terrible on defense.
Yeah, he's trying harder, which is something that I think that, you know, is
noticed. He's always done that. He always looks like a traffic cone in the regular season, and then he steps it up in the playoffs every single time. It's wild.
Yeah, he's definitely not like a lockdown defender by any means, but he's definitely better. He's not quite a traffic.
Pesky, he'll poke the ball from behind sometimes and forget about him. Yeah. And then that layup when he was surrounded by three Clippers and then just twisted in midair.
The incredible. The changing absolutely of incredible. The ball in midair like three separate times and then launching it up. He's
incredible.
There's those times where like, damn, I remember like why I thought Kyrie was the best at a certain point. Totally. Like, why people love this kid, loved this guy back then. Obviously, now it's super complicated with that dude. But like, at least back then, those are the moments where you're just like, oh, this just on a pure basketball level, this dude.
Totally.
Just, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch. It really is.
Totally. Now, we saved worst for last.
Yeah.
Thunder Pelicans.
this is what the people want. Uh-huh. People have been waiting around to listen to Thunder Pelicans talk. No, I really don't have a ton about the series. It'd be more fun if Zion was here, but even if Zion even if Zion wasn't here, I mean the Thunder are just the better team. It's clear. There'll be these kind of moments where the Pelicans are playing them really close, and it looks like, oh, maybe the Pelicans can kind of hang, and then they just kind of fall apart a little bit, and they go on these scoring droughts. I think I talked about this earlier this season, where they'll just go through these long stretches where it looks like they can't hit a shot, and it looks like they have no game plan whatsoever, and it looks like they're just like, okay, I guess Ingram, go create a shot, I guess, or CJ, go make something happen. I don't know. And that's their whole plan, and just nothing works. And it comes back to bite you when you're in the playoffs against the one seed, against a team that doesn't stop scoring, no matter who's on the floor, and a coach that is just coaching circles around Willie Green. No offense to Willie Green, but Mark Dagnolt, coach of the year for a reason.
Yep. Yep. Totally. I mean, SGA's been great. He, you know, doing his thing. Chet, as a rookie, has really impressed. He's been amazing. He's been altering and deterring people from the rim. And there's just not too much to say. The Thunder have great depth. This isn't a matchup that's hard for them. They're not going to be worried until they're facing a team of size. And that's when their playoffs will really begin.
Yeah. I'll be really interested to see. Obviously, I expect the Thunder to come out. I'm not really holding any breath for the Pelicans here. It'll be really interesting to see that second round, depending on, you know, if it's Clippers or if it's Mavs. Whoever comes out, I think that'll be a real test for the Thunder. It'll be a real, okay, now let's see. Because either way, you're either getting, a team with, I assume, Kawhi, Harden, and Paul George. That's a lot of talent. That's and a lot of playoff experience that these guys do not have. And then if it's the Mavs, you have Luka Doncic, who's twice the player that anyone on the Pelicans is, maybe five times the player of any Pelican. So you're going to have to deal with that. And you're going to have to deal with Kyrie. That's going to be a scoring attack that's going to be hard to stop. I do think the Thunder are pretty well equipped. Obviously, they have a couple of really good defensive players on their team. Obviously, they have Chet. They have Lu Dort, and, you know, SGA is not a turnstile, at least when I think he puts in an effort. And so I think, bottom line, this Thunder's team, the real test will come in the second round. You know, the 1-8 this year is how it normally feels, where it's like, yeah, we can kind of skip over these series because, like, at the end of the day, the second round is when it really gets juicy, or at least in the Celtics' case, the third round is really where it gets juicy. Then we'll see a real test for these teams. If any other thoughts?
No other thoughts.
You know, I gotta say, Camp, listen, these playoffs have been amazing.
Can't wait to watch more.
I absolutely can't.
Score check. Let's see. Thunder Pelicans. Pelicans are up by one in end of the third quarter. Lakers Nuggets, almost the end of the first quarter. Lakers are up by one.
So that's worrisome, because normally the Lakers should be up by like 10 at the end of the first quarter. You know, maybe they're trying something new. You know, I respect it.
Trying to keep it close early and then get the lead later.
You know, when you were talking about Lakers Nuggets, I really was reminded of how it feels when the Ravens play the Chiefs, because it'll always be like the Ravens' time of possession was like three times the Chiefs' time of possession, but the score is like Chiefs are up by 7 or something, and it's just like, how have we controlled the ball? How have Patrick Mahomes only had the ball for 10 total minutes through three quarters, but they have 3 touchdowns?
Don't pass your trauma to me.
Listen, I'm trying to bond with you over here. You know, cross Patrick Mahomes, Nikola Jokic, these people are ruining our lives, man. Cam.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
Well,
no wiser words have ever been said.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. For tuning in, Big Market Bias. If you have any strong opinions on anything we said here today, please email us at bigmarketbias@gmail.com. If you hear a credible NBA analyst with a prediction, please send that in to us as well. Have a great weekend, everyone. Peter and Cam signing off.